It's November, and I love talking about stewardship this time of year. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Turkey is certainly one of them, but the biggest reason is that it reminds us, and specifically reminds me, to be thankful for what we've been blessed with in life. And I know that we often think of money when we think of stewardship, yet stewardship is about so much more than what we do with our finances. But finances are certainly part of that. Stewardship is really what do we do with what we've been gifted with. A steward is someone who takes care of something that belongs to somebody else, that they've been entrusted with. And so last week we finished up our Vision Bound series and we focused on the stewardship of our spiritual gift of Jesus' exceptional love. God's love to us is truly a gift. It's not something that we've earned, and it's a treasure that is not meant for us to hide or to keep for our own benefit. And today we look a little differently at our blessings that we have. We look at the material aspect of God, how God has blessed us, in our stewardship of those blessings. Now, if you're tempted to think, well, I don't really know what the connection is between the material things I have in my life and the spiritual blessings, I just want to point out a couple facts to us. 16 out of the 38 parables that Jesus gave had to do with money or possessions. I've seen counts, I didn't take the time to double check this week, but I've seen counts that say there are some 2,000 verses in Scripture that talk about our money or possessions. And so clearly God wants to help give us a perspective around the material things in our lives that should be in line with our spiritual lives and blessings there. They aren't two separate things, or they aren't one thing that's okay for us to consider within worship, and the other one is, oh, we don't really want to. No, clearly Jesus knew that what we do with money, what we think about money, how we interact with our possessions, that these things all have bearing on our spiritual health in the way that we walk and work with God. One of the gifts that we have in this particular parable that we hear is Jesus doesn't always wrap his parables up with a neat little bow. Sometimes they're left a little bit ambiguous, or they're left for the interpreter to try to understand for themselves, well, how might this interact with my life and what is going on? And yet, in this one, we are given that gift of a clear interpretation of what we might do with the words that Christ has given us. In this parable, Jesus wants to encourage us about the importance of being rich towards God. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be rich towards God? Within these verses, Jesus shows us of some of the ways that we can get caught up in not being rich towards God. So in verse 15, just before the parable starts, Jesus responds to this man who wants Jesus to help them settle a family feud over inheritance. And he says this, he says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." The parable that follows tells us about a certain rich man. And even though the overall parable may not speak directly to any of our situations, again, the point that Jesus is trying to make here is encouraging us towards an attitude of being rich towards God. This man is already rich. So right there you may say, well, this parable doesn't apply to me because I wouldn't say that I'm already rich. But we see this man who is living a life that is already blessed with material things. But his reaction to getting more likely tells us something about the way that he interacted with the wealth that he already had. We don't see that he stops to give thanks or acknowledge his blessing. He automatically starts thinking about what he is going to do to be able to keep as much as he can. Hearts that are rich towards God are grateful for what they already have. This is true even if they've worked really hard to get what they have. And so we may get caught up in that. We may say, God, you know, I put a lot of effort into earning what I have. But do we stop and pause and give thanks to God for the blessings that we've been given in our life that allow us to earn what we have? God has gifted us with our personalities. God has gifted us with the particular gifts that allow us to earn what we have, our skills and our abilities. God has gifted us by helping us to be in the right place at the right time, that we would have the opportunity to acquire those gifts. Yes, we're called to work hard within that, but we should also acknowledge and be grateful for the way that God gifts us. And so while maybe we wouldn't acknowledge in the same way this man was already rich, we are rich in so many ways before we even get to thinking about the material blessings that we are able to get with the gifts that God has given us. And as we look to this man, as he acquired, he did not give thanks. The other way that he isn't rich towards God is that he didn't seek the Lord's guidance when he found himself unexpectedly blessed. This crop yield was well beyond what he expected. How do we know that? Well, we know that he had barns to store what he would normally have received as a yield for his crops. And yet, he received so much beyond what he was expecting to receive that he had to ask the question, well, what am I going to do with this abundance? He already had preparations for the harvest, and yet they weren't nearly enough because of the excessive blessing that God had given him in his life. So instead of seeking God in prayer regarding what to do with this unexpected blessing, he starts to make a plan for putting it away to benefit himself at a later time. He's even willing to invest more resources in tearing down the barns that he currently has. So, I mean, this begins to help us, I think, understand the wealth of God's blessing in his life, that he seemed to think it was prudent to tear down the barns he already had in order to build bigger ones. All of this with giving no thanks to God. All of this without seeking God's direction for what he should do with what he's been blessed. All over Scripture, we see examples of prayer that thank God. Particularly in the Psalms, as we walk through those, we find even in the Psalms that have been labeled Psalms of Lament, Psalms where the psalmist is crying out to God in the midst of difficult circumstances, we often find even in those prayers, the psalmist thanking God for who God is or what God is doing. And so something powerful happens in our hearts when we give thanks to God. If we are going to grow in the ways that we trust God to be enough, we can't wait to thank God until we reach the point of feeling like we have enough in our lives. Our hearts grow in being rich towards God when we can say thank you for what we have, even if it looks like we may not have enough or as much as we think we need in our next steps forward. Our hearts grow in being rich towards God when we learn to say thank you, even when we know that we have less than what we need. Because even in what we lack, we still have a lot more than nothing. Hearts that are rich towards God and grow in the way that God is enough give thanks, and they also seek God's direction. Jesus tells us, when you pray, and then he gives us the prayer that we've already prayed together today. He gives us this prayer that we call the Lord's prayer. We pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is a prayer with so many meanings that can lead us in so many different directions, but part of what Jesus is modeling for us here is seeking God's will for our lives. We're not only asking for this world to be the way that God intended it for it to be, but we're asking for God's will to be done in each of our lives. Your will be done in my life. Hearts that are rich towards God give thanks for what they have, and they seek God's will for what they should do with what they have. God is the way that I'm using the resources you have given me in line with your will for my life. That would be another way to pray. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Financial stewardship is not, like the infomercial said, set it and forget it. I don't even remember what they were trying to sell with that, and I don't watch a lot of infomercials, but have you seen that one that says set it and forget it? Maybe you have what they were selling at your house. I don't remember what it was, but good stewardship is not set it and forget it. It's important to revisit with God from time to time. God, how is my heart doing with the blessings that you've given me? How is my heart doing with the material wealth that you have poured into my life? Jesus, am I using those material blessings to be more generous in my heart towards you? Or am I seeking ways to store up things for myself that are out of line with where you are trying to lead me? So this is why we should seek God on a regular basis in the area of our finances throughout our journeys. The picture's not always going to look the same for us depending on where we are, both with our finances, but also where we are in our discipleship. The Bible teaches on the importance of tithing, giving back to God 10% of what we've been given. And for some growing hearts that are generous, this means working towards that giving of a tithe from our finances. For some, this may mean growing in our hearts that are generous in a way that maybe is already reached that place of faithfulness of tithing and saying, all right, God, well, what else? Or what new ways are you looking for me to be faithful for what I have? And so this doesn't look the same for all of us. And it certainly doesn't look the same even for each of us or our families at every point in our discipleship. And so we should continue to look to God. Again, not just set it and forget it, but to continue to say, God, is the way that we're interacting with these gifts helping us to grow a heart that is generous towards you? We have a video that I want us to see here in a moment. It's a testimony about just that, how faithfulness and stewardship at one point in our discipleship doesn't necessarily look the same as it does at other points. And so I'm grateful for Betty Rulin to share about her journey and the way that God was working in her life as a young Christian to learn what it means to have a generous heart. So let's hear this testimony now.
Good morning. When I became a new Christian, one of the hardest things to understand was that God is enough. And I'd like to share a story that helped me understand that when I became a new Christian. I knew that offering was a very diligent thing to do, important to the church, important to the growth of the church. And so I took my paycheck. I knew the designated amount that I should be giving, and had it all calculated in my envelopes and my daily budget and such. So I remember missing 2 weeks of church, and I go into the envelopes, and I should be $20, and now all of a sudden it was $60, and I didn't have it. So I went to the food budget, and I had a 50 and a 10. I thought, oh, okay, this is the amount that I should be giving. So I took it, and immediately my thought was, but I've got so many bills this week. What am I going to do? So I took my 50, I took my 10, and I'm at church. And while the choir was singing, I'm deep in thought about what to do. Being a new Christian, I knew what I should do. offering plate came, and I kept the 50 and I put in the 10, knowing that the budget I had ahead in the week was not going to be enough for me. So, went throughout the week, and it was heavy on my heart, heavy in my thought. And I remember paying the bill, see, I couldn't have given you that because this is what I have to work with. And it got to be the end of the week, and I knew what I should have done, and I couldn't wait until the following Sunday to pay my debt. Without a care, I took my designated amount, took my $60, put it in the offering plate, and I just remember feeling calm and peace because it was the right thing to do. And I jokingly, you know, said, okay, just no bills this week because I can do this. So I remember leaving church peaceful, content, and knowing it was the right thing to do. So I went all week. I don't remember going hungry. I don't remember being a struggle. I just remember it was peaceful. So I got home on Friday, and there was the first bill on the dining room table, you know, and I looked at it. It was an envelope from Reader's Digest, and the thought came back to me, and loving God's sense of humor, I said, remember, we said no bills this week. And so I put my hand on the envelope, and I remember this tremendous feeling of peace and assurance. And I opened up the envelope, and in it was a check for $160 for a joke that I sent in 6 months prior of something that my son said 5 years ago. And that's when I began to realize that God has the big picture. God is in control. And trusting God gives me peace.
Amen. That's a powerful testimony about trusting God, even in the area of finances. But it also points us to the importance of looking to God again and again for how we will trust. Now, I haven't asked Betty this specifically, but I'm going to guess that God wasn't looking to teach Betty an unbreakable law for the rest of her life. I don't think that every time that Betty gives, that she receives an unexpected check for almost three times the amount. I don't expect that every time that Betty gives, God gives her not only what she has given back, but a $100 tip on what she has given. So it's not an unbreakable rule, but God was working to help her understand at that point of where she was as a disciple what it would look like for her to have a generous heart towards God and reinforcing that in her life. And because that wasn't necessarily an unbreakable rule, that's something that needs to be revisited. And so next week we have the opportunity and the invitation to look towards 2018. And say, all right, God, I don't know exactly what you're going to do in my life. I don't know. We don't have any promises that our income is going to be what it was this year into next year. But we have the opportunity with intention to look to God, to look at our finances and say, Lord, is there a way that within the financial resources that you have blessed me with, that I could grow in my heart of generosity as it relates to offering a financial pledge towards the ministry of the church for what is going on in 2018. Now, pledging to the church isn't certainly the only way that God calls us to be faithful. Because let's remember, even if we're walking in the biblical example of tithing, that is still 10% of what we have, and we have another 90%, and God is calling us to be faithful with all that we have. We don't have to be so rich that we already have barns that are overflowing that we think we may need to build more in order to be in danger of the greed that Jesus warns us about. Again, Jesus begins the parable by saying we are to be on guard against all kinds of greed. And so prayerfully reflecting on what you may do next year, again, is just a piece of what God may want to do in your heart as it relates to stewardship of your finances. Growth isn't necessarily in pledging more money next year than what you have given this year. Growth is resting either once again or maybe for the first time in letting God be enough in your heart. Growth is being thankful in new ways or in deeper ways than you have been before. And so maybe growth looks like as you write that check out for the church, put the money in the envelope, however it is that you give, maybe growth is pausing to not just let that be something that's mechanical. Maybe growth is saying, God, thank you, not only for this amount that I'm able to give, but for the many, many blessings beyond that that help me to live from day to day. Growth is in seeking God's will for the use of your financial resources, even as you thank Him for what you have. Trusting that God is enough does not mean that you will always have enough in your bank account. Trusting that God is enough means that even when you find yourself with a need, your heart is grateful for the many blessings that you do have before you get too stressed about what it is that you lack. Trusting that God is enough is knowing that in Jesus Christ, God is providing for all of our needs from a heart that loves us more than we can imagine, that is more generous towards us than we will ever be able to be towards God. Jesus invites us and gives us so much, to the point that when we get to eternity, as our song that Sandra sang for us kind of opened our eyes and hearts to, that I imagine we'll be shocked not just at the way that our giving has impacted others, but at the multitude of blessings that we didn't even notice as we walked these lives. Would you pray with me? Holy God, forgive us for the ways that we feel like we are lacking in what we need. Lord, help us to trust and to have you as our vision. Let us have the proper perspective that even when maybe we lack for certain need or there isn't enough in the balance to pay the bill that's sitting in front of us, Lord, let us not just focus on what is missing, but let us see it as an opportunity to look at and to thank you for the multitudes of what we do have. Lord, let it be an opportunity for us to look to you in our need and to trust you, to trust that you are generous, to trust that you are not a God of scarcity, but a God of abundance and provision. So, Lord, we ask that you would grow in our hearts, that you would help us to grow in our generosity. Lord, we thank you for the way that you have provided for us materially. Lord, help us to trust you in giving back and helping others in their material need as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.